Hello, my name is Chuck Porritt. Welcome to my Second Tree website and to this webpage titled The Truth About Original Sin. When Christians use the phrase original sin, the word original conveys two ideas. First of all, it is a reference to the very first sin that was committed by a human being, by Adam in the Garden of Eden. So in that sense, the sin is original. But it is also the very first sin that was committed in the place of the origins of humanity, in the Garden of Eden itself. And so the phrase original sin refers to Adam's first rebellion against God in Eden. Why does Adam's sin have relevance for us in this 21st century? To understand that, we need to go to a portion in God's Word written by the Apostle Paul, Romans chapter 5, verse 12. And I'm going to paraphrase what Paul wrote in that verse. By one man, Adam, the father of the human race, sin came into the world, and death as the direct result of that sin. And so death passed upon all men because all sinned. Now, in the original Greek language that Paul used, he wrote the word sinned in the simple past tense, conveying an action performed in the past. And if we are to take Paul's words at face value, we must understand him to say that when Adam, the father of the human race, sinned in the Garden of Eden, bringing death upon himself as the just consequence of his sin, that every single member of the human race was present within him and joining him in that disobedience, and thus bringing a sentence of death upon each one of them individually as well. This is the plain meaning of Paul's words. And Paul writes elsewhere in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 18, that the wrath of God has been revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who possess the truth and suppress it in unrighteousness. So you might ask, well, how could this have happened? How could this be true? What kind of connection could there have been between ourselves and Adam that would have allowed this to happen? And the answer is found in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, where it is written that God said, "Let us make man in our image and according to our likeness." Just as there is one true living God, and yet this one God is also at the same time three distinct and individual eternal persons, so also God created the human race so that we would be a combination of oneness in Adam, and yet also a plurality of individual persons, every single individual member of the human race. It is this combination of unity and plurality that is part of the characteristic of God's nature revealed in a human race made in God's image. But there's another aspect of God's nature that is also revealed in us, and that is the fact that we, at one point in history, dwelt within our father, Adam, before coming forth from within him in the course of human history, to enter into our own bodies and live separate and individual lives. This two-stage existence of human beings is reflective of a two-stage existence for both the Son of God and the Spirit of God in eternity past. There are many who have asked, how could the Son of God be eternal and yet be God's Son? And how could the Holy Spirit be eternal and yet have proceeded forth from within God the Father? And the answer to that question is simple. They existed within the Father as distinct and individual persons and yet one with him, before proceeding forth from within him in eternity past, before time or creation began. And so it is not only the oneness of God that is revealed in mankind and our connections with Adam, but the two-stage existence of those who have been begotten and proceeded from God the Father that is also reflected in our own two-stage existence in relation to the Father of the human race. Now, I touch upon the nature of the commandment that God gave to Adam in the Garden of Eden, forbidding him to learn the difference between right and wrong, and telling him that the path of righteousness for him and for all mankind would be one of simply believing him regarding the moral issues of our life. This believing God is sometimes also referred to as faith in God. In my basic section of this website, I also touch on the subject of God's judgment, and also upon the fact that we can be saved through one that the Bible refers to as the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. That it is possible that by being united with the Lord Jesus in his own death, burial, and resurrection from the dead, we can have our sins atoned for, and the bondage of sin over us broken, and be raised from the dead with him to begin new lives and finding acceptance with God. But one of the most important things that I touch on in this webpage on original sin is the error of a man named Augustine. Augustine was a theologian who wrote and taught in the church back around 400 AD. And one of the things that Augustine did was to deny that we were all literally and consciously present within Adam, and choosing to commit the same rebellion with him that he did. Instead, Augustine blamed all of our circumstances not on our choices, but upon God's choices. Augustine eventually taught toward the end of his life that we inherit the bondage to sin that Adam brought himself into biologically, that we inherit Adam's depravity. It is a doctrine that has come to be known as hereditary depravity and is foundational to the Roman Catholic Church. But beyond that, Augustine also planted the seeds of an idea that God chose to make Adam our representative in the Garden of Eden, to vote in our place, so to speak, so that he could then turn around and charge us with Adam's sin. That we have not only inherited Adam's bondage to sin, but we have also inherited his guilt, again, because God chose to set things up like that. Augustine's theology is an attack upon the very foundations of God's word that claims from beginning to end of the Bible that God is a God of truth and justice, who always has and always will render unto every human being, and every angel also, for that matter, according to our deeds, according to what we have truly and freely chosen to do, and how we think also in our hearts. So there is a real break in Augustine between justice and just judgment, and a fictional theology that is based upon the sovereignty of God, where he can do whatever he wants and nobody has the right to question him. The fact of the matter is that God's own word contradicts such a theology.